You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And it's time now for another episode of Your Health with Dr. Eric Grigsby, brought to you by Neurovations, a patient care and innovations company, providing the best care for every patient every day. And Dr. Grigsby, welcome in once again.
Hey, good morning, Barry. How are you?
Not too bad. Did you have a good weekend?
Oh, I had a great weekend and a sunny day, and today's going to be 89 degrees. It feels like summer. It's great.
Yeah, right? Very good. Let's get rolling. We're going to talk today about folks being their own advocate for their health condition. This is something that I learned pretty young. One of my first jobs, I was in an HMO back when people didn't know what that word meant. And I found out pretty quickly that if you wanted to get some looked at, you kind of had to speak up in an HMO environment. When you're talking about patients in the medical world you work in, what's your thinking on this? What's the basic thought here?
Well, I thought we'd take a little break today in general from sort of condition-specific conversations. We've talked about headache and back pain and sort of specific pain things. And I thought we'd have a little conversation about, you know, how you can get, as a patient, how you can get the most out of your interaction with your physician or with the healthcare system. And I spent 25 solid years of my life, about 25 times a day, meeting with individual patients, just one-on-one in the exam room. And I have a pretty good impression of the patients who I met with, who I thought really got the most out of the visit, you know, out of me and the staff and my time and the information that I had available. And I thought that some of our other patients might get more out of the interaction with the healthcare system or with their doctor specifically, if they kind of did certain simple things that could really help out. So I thought maybe we'd have a little conversation about that.
Yeah, very good. Let's get right to it. Specific ideas on this in terms of advocating. A lot of people are hesitant, and it comes from, in part, you know, that diploma up on your wall and the idea that, well, I don't really know about this. You know about this. Who am I to ask?
Well, it's true. And it's even the bigger picture is even more important. You know, just for one second, we'll go down that path. You know, for the last 50 years of medicine, the advances in medicine have been so profound, you know, with treating of infectious disease problems. We've made a lot of progress on cancer, have a lot of things yet to do. Transplant surgery, the surgical treatment of osteoarthritis and total joint replacement. We've had just some incredible advances. And so there's this sort of feeling that I can be passive and do whatever I feel like, or not be so engaged in my health, and somebody will be there to fix me.
Hmm.
And it's been sort of inadvertent, right? I don't think any of the medical community has specifically wanted to be in this sort of paternal or maternal situation where we just take care of the patient, no problem, just come to me with your skin knee and we'll fix you up just like you do when you're a kid. You know, none of us really intentionally developed that attitude, certainly not me and most, but yet we've gotten to a situation where patients are really, really passive about going to the doctor. And I don't think it's all intimidation. I think it's just sort of like, well, what's my role here? And what's the doctor's role? And I thought we'd talk just a little bit about that today.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, doctor's role and the patient role. How do we begin to talk about that?
Well, one thing is, before you go to the physician, is to think a little bit about what you're going to accomplish. So read a little bit about your doctor and read a little bit about your condition, so you have good, sort of a good foundational knowledge. So the main thing to think of is just prepare for the visit. Like, if you're, you know, it's, everybody's busy. And so you see a doctor's appointment on your schedule, you think, well, this is going to be great. You know, I'll just go there and I'm busy. I go shopping before I go there. You go to the doctor, I get a little bit of information, then I go to the next appointment. But the physician, the appointment with your doctor is, I think, it wouldn't be there if it wasn't really important. So spend a little time reading about him or her and the condition that you had before you go there. So be an educated consumer. And then before you go to the visit, it always was great for me if a patient had three or four specific questions that they had written down before they come in the exam room, because everybody gets nervous in the exam room, right? We're talking to the doctor and, you know, there's a lot of big words and the issues are complicated and it's not always so comfortable. It's not your own living room. So it's somebody else's office and all of that stuff. So my suggestion is really strongly to write down your two or three most important questions or objectives for that visit before you get there. And then try not to leave until you get answers. hold me, if I'm your physician, you know, hold me to answering your questions. Don't let me tell you about stuff that is not that important to you. Make sure we get to your questions and answers so you don't leave there disappointed and frustrated and give your doctor a bad health grades review because you didn't get your question answered. So make sure and go there with your questions and read a little bit ahead of time.
I'm sure you're acquainted with the fact that some physicians and maybe, I don't know, nurse practitioners, anybody in their field can get a little defensive once in a while. And this is not a trait of people in the medical field. It's a trait of people who have experience in any field when they're questioned by somebody that they know doesn't have the training and experience that they have. I'm thinking back on when my son was about to be born, and the pediatrician, or actually OBGYN, I should say, my ex-wife said something to him during this visit, and he came back with a, well, if that's what you want to have, kind of an attitude, if that's what you want to go through, you know, a kind of a snarky response, right? And, you know, he was a guy with 25 or 30 years of experience, and he knew what he was talking about. Everything turned out fine, of course, but that was very chilling for a young woman to hear from this doctor that she was trusting. That can be an issue for people who don't, you know, maybe don't come in with a ton of confidence to begin with.
Well, you know, that's too bad, because, you know, I think a physician who feels uncomfortable or snarky about being asked a question is kind of is carrying some insecurities that probably don't need to be there after 20 years of training and experience.
Maybe he was having a bad day. Maybe he had.
It's possible he was just having a bad day.
Maybe he had chronic pain.
Well, that's a good point. I think the bottom line is it's similar to when somebody would ask me very commonly, you know, I'd like to get a second opinion. Do you know anybody else that you would refer me to for a second opinion? And I actually always appreciated that question, and I didn't feel threatened by it because I had a ton of confidence that I was thinking straight and was trained and experienced, and whoever they went to would have a similar opinion. Mm-hmm. And then they'd feel more confident in what I said because they went to another smart person that gave them the same advice. So I think the defensiveness, you know, in the medical profession, we all tease about Dr. Google. You know, of course, now everybody has access to, you know, to Google. And so some patients come in and you know, to tease a little bit, they come in and want to educate me about chronic pain because they did what I asked them to do, which is to learn about, spend time on learning last night, and now want to inform me. So it's not so much getting informed, it's just how that relationship goes, and are we mutually respectful of each other and really trying to get the solution or a plan for the patient's problem, whatever that is that they showed up for today. And if we have that mutual respect and a common goal, then it should work out fine. And to be fair, if you go to a physician or caregiver and there is a lot of defensiveness and, you know, kind of unwillingness to engage and wanting to kind of keep that power position, if you will, you know, maybe it's just not the right fit. You know, there are an awful lot of clinicians out there that are just really good people, and they just want to talk to you and relate to you and try to give you a hand with the information that they worked hard to get.
Yeah.
And some not, like any profession, and make sure that you find one that fits your style and that you feel, you know, is respectful and connected.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Google, I like that. I'm going to have to remember that one. Somebody who had a lot of wisdom once said, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, right?
Well, It's the truth. Yeah, it's the truth. Yeah.
So here's a different scenario in terms of advocating for your own health. Another example, this came to mind, maybe the first time I ever went to a doctor who was younger than myself, mm-hmm. which is a shocking experience when that happens to you. And you're like, wait a minute, how can this person?
I know about your approximate age and it's a little younger than I am. So that happens more and more as the years go on.
Right. And, you know, I've learned to understand that that's really not a factor in knowledge or understanding. It's just surprising the first time it happens to you. And in this particular case, this young man was writing me a prescription within probably 10 minutes of when I walked into the office, not for something that I had had before, but a new prescription for something I'd never taken that had some side effects. And looking back on that, I was kind of ignorant for being accepting of it and not, you know, kind of questioning how quickly he came to a conclusion on it. That's an area where it's difficult. You know, can a patient actually say no to something like that?
Well, absolutely, you can say no, or you can say a qualified no. Say, you know, I thank you, but I don't want to accept that until I really understand it. So, can you tell me in your experience, you know, the benefits of this drug, and then what I should be on the lookout for in terms of side effects and challenges? And you may decide that those side effects and challenges are not worth the benefit, and that is completely 100% the patient's decision. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we shouldn't usurp that as physicians. The challenge we all have, Barry, is that we have too many patients to see in too short a time.
Right.
And so we spend 10 or 15 minutes. And so if a patient's on five medications and you want to have a 10-minute conversation about each of the medications, you know, well, that's 50 minutes. That's an hour already. And so, you know, that amount of time just doesn't fit into the current healthcare system. And so that's what we can have a kind of a long talk about how that got to be if it's ever relevant. But the truth is, that's just the way it is. You know, you have 15 or 20 minutes now with your physician or provider. And that's why I started this off by saying, you know, please arm yourself mm-hmm. with as much information as you can ahead of time mm-hmm. so that we can get down to it when you have a question that you can't answer with information at hand that you really need your physician for.
Do you ever get a patient who's done their research, quote unquote, and when what they come in with then is some cockamamie substance? You know, it's a supplement or it's a, you know, the new pill derived from this or that. Do you run mm-hmm. into that frequently these days? Because it's not, you used to be only in the back of magazines. You could find those little bitty ads.
No.
Now they're everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, you know, everybody has a cure for everything. You know, and what I usually fall back on is, you know, medicine and the way that I tried to approach my career is that medicine is based on evidence, and evidence is of various types. One piece of evidence is I took this thing and I felt better. Well, that's evidence. It's actually pretty weak evidence from a science perspective, from a scientific, you know, validation. Does something really work over the long run across a lot of people? One person taking it and reporting that it made them feel really good in a day or two is a little evidence, yes, but it's not good evidence. And so on the other end of the spectrum is clinical science, which is what we do a lot of here at Neurovations. We spend a lot of time with medical device and pharmaceutical companies trying to get good evidence. And there is a way, right, to develop evidence that supports, let's say, FDA approval or supports my willingness as a physician to give a drug or device to a patient. To develop that evidence requires a lot of people and a certain kind of study, like a placebo-controlled, blinded, randomized, all these words, but that are trying to take bias out of a study so that we get as close to real information, true information as we can over a large number of people over how does this work. And so, my answer to everybody that has a cure for everything is, well, let me just take a look at the evidence for what you have. And if it's good, or if there's a strong signal that it might be helpful, well, that's great. Now let's go get real evidence, because, you know, patients trusted me over my entire career, you know, to do what's right for them and not what paid the most or what I like to do or what satisfied my curiosity in some kind of way, but what's right for them. And that's really based on evidence, you know, as I just defined it, not on one or two people taking something and then getting a Twitter feed going about it. Hmm. And everybody says, yeah, that's awesome. And so that's not evidence. That's just interesting information.
Yeah. And sometimes placebo effect is very strong, right?
For sure. Well, yeah. Placebo effect is one of these ways that we want to feel better. So sometimes that makes us feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it turns out it's real, right? And sometimes the bottom line is, do I feel better? But the question is, can we scale that over a large number of people in our community or in my practice? And the answer is usually not. We have to have things that really work, demonstrated by good clinical evidence. And there's a whole way of doing that we learn. And I was trained to do this clinical research business back at Mayo approximately 100 years ago when I was training back there. And so, you know, there's a way to do it. And so my answer to the latest and greatest is, great, it looks like it might be really promising. Let's go get some evidence around it.
It's the only way you can, you know, realistically approach things these days, or things are changing all the time and studies are happening all the time. And so I'm sure it's challenging to keep up. I often want to ask doctors, I'll take my opportunity, how do you stay up on what's current? Because, you know, I report on studies in the New England Journal or the American Medical Association, right. The Lancet. There's something new every week that makes it to mainstream news, let alone things that don't.
Well, it's good. First of all, really good knowledge of some of the fine medical journals. So, well, the answer, Barry, is curiosity. I mean, you know, to be a physician, to be a good provider, caregiver, physician, or many of the other ways to provide good care to patients besides being a physician. But I think to care for another human being and do it well, you know, curiosity is probably more important than intelligence, really. So curiosity to read and to understand and to sort of be moved enough by the problems that you've seen or see every day to read on the answer, to go try to find some information that you might bring to a patient. So the short story is I think successful physicians, you know, read all the time. And I know I do, you know, I have a series of feeds, you know, these days everything's digital. I read on my phone and my laptop, you know, but we create a set of news feeds that give you the information in your field in a kind of a concise way, so that the things that you really enjoy or think are relevant, you can read in more depth. And a lot of things just come through by titles. But the bottom line is just be curious and read a lot.
Hmm. No replacement for that, even with, you know, everything being available as a TikTok video also.
So far, we haven't gotten a chip that can just embed that information in my noggin without me actually reading it, although I'm really open to that.
Update your firmware and away you go.
Exactly.
So sometimes a patient has tried and tried and they've educated themselves and they've talked with different physicians and they feel like they're out of options. What do you say to a person who's in that situation?
Well, there is very rarely a place where, you know, you would say you're just out of options. There are places where we have to accept conditions as they are. But then there's a lot of information that can help you with acceptance and managing and living with a certain thing, right? So there's almost never a place where I would say, you're out of options, ma'am. I would say, we might not be able to cure this, but now let's talk about how to make sure you have the best quality of life and manage through this as best you can. So we'll focus on that, right? So if you're getting a feeling of disengagement from your physician, or somehow or another you heard, your mind heard, there's nothing else I can do for you. What that often means is, I just don't know what to do for you. So then look for more resources, you know, look again. And that's where the arming yourself with information and You know, that's where the self-advocacy really comes in, is to talk to smart people that you know who have maybe had health challenges and say, how did you manage this situation? Who did you manage? And it's not always physician-centric. It can often be, you know, a healthcare coach. There are many of those. It can often be a counselor or, you know, even a therapist who can just help you with your approach to your chronic illness. I spent most of my life in chronic illness, so this is, I come from that perspective. So if you just have a self-limited thing, time-limited thing that's going to get better on its own, then you don't need all these resources. But for chronic illness, arm yourself with information and go looking, you know, go digging.
Good info and good advice. We've been talking about patients advocating for themselves with Dr. Eric Grigsby here on the Your Health Show. Tell folks how they can get in touch with your office.
Sure. Well, we'd be happy to see and talk as much as we can. Our phone number, Kimberly, our new patient coordinator, standing by there. Our number is 252-9660. It's 707-252-9660. And there's a lot of information on our website, which is info@NapaPainInstitute.com, NapaPainInstitute.com.
All right. Outstanding. Enjoyed talking with you about this. Good topic.
Thanks, Barry. It's good to talk. Have a great week.
See you later. And Your Health with Dr. Grigsby is brought to you by Neurovations, a patient care and innovations company providing the best care for every patient every day.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.